Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McCallan. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Diversity Inc. says that innovative companies utilize technology to reach new markets, including the disabled. Comcast is one such example. The cable company hired a vice president of accessibility in 2012. This vice president continues to work with Comcast. His name is Tom Wankowski. He's been blind since birth. He learned to work and live in the real world through facing life's challenges head on. Tom went to public school, and he played in both the marching and the rock bands. And Tom wanted to be on the air. He worked in radio after college. But Tom Wankowski found a niche, his niche, when he was asked to work on technology for people with disabilities. He led the accessibility departments at AOL and WGBH in Boston. Tom implemented the voice-guided DVD menus and audio description while he was at WGBH. And Philly.com reports that Tom has created a talking TV channel guide for blind Comcast customers. Tom joins us to talk about his technological achievements here and his personal and professional life as well. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Brian. How's it going?
Going good. So let's first learn about you. Diversity Inc. says that you grew up in Southington, Connecticut, and you're the youngest of four brothers.
That's correct.
You've also been blind since birth. How did you become blind?
We really don't know. I was born blind, as you said, and who knows? It could have been some sort of a virus when the eyes were forming. It's never really been medically determined, or if it has, I never thought to ask.
You lovingly describe your mother as not being a protective person and somebody who just put you out there into the real world. Tell me more about your mother and her sort of hands-off nurturing.
I mean, I would say it was my whole family. I was the youngest of four brothers. The oldest was 8 years older than me. Certainly my parents were my biggest and best advocates at the time. And quite frankly, I think it was a lot of good fortune. My mother has always said that if I was the first child, it could have been very different. She could have been more overprotective. You know, she read the book, If You Could See What I Hear by Tom Sullivan. I also read it when I was, I guess, you know, middle school or high school. And, he's equally independent now, but tells a very different story growing up where he did have to deal with that kind of overprotected childhood. Whereas for me, you know, I guess my mother figured that if one kid came home banged up and bloodied, well, you know, I'm going to come home and do the same thing. So I'm sure she probably, you know, had other thoughts on the inside, as I'm sure my dad and others have. But, there wasn't really any thought, or at least it wasn't indicated to me that I couldn't do whatever my three older brothers were doing. So I think it's really a credit to everyone around me that they were able to step up and embrace a challenge and really hopefully, you know, have turned into something positive for others.
And you were mainstreamed in the local public schools. And when you got into high school, you were in the marching band, and you were even a drummer in a rock band. Tell us about that experience being in both bands and how you spoke out about your abilities to play music with sighted people.
It was a great experience. I was really fortunate to be able to find music as an interest and really enjoy playing the drums and in marching bands, drummers usually are marching as one big unit. So we're shoulder to shoulder anyway. So there's no real reason to be out of line. Certainly I've tried other contraptions to stay in line if we needed, but it seemed like this was the niche. And then, you know, just playing in bands all my life, really, all kinds, rock, jazz, what have you. You know, it's just a hobby, a passion. You know, so I think that's, there's really no mystery to it. It's just following your interest.
Great. So your experiences in music led you to work in radio after college. Let's first talk about college, though. What'd you study, and how did you speak out about your ability to get the degree you wanted and work in radio?
Sure. So I went to Boston College, had a BA in communications, and, you know, being in a major city, I was able to get some great internships. And, you know, I think that really helped. Technology certainly played a role, you know, from high school through college, through the different resources that I had access to, was able to use a VersaBrail and other technology that really helped me, you know, do the classwork that was required. Recordings for the Blind was another tool that I used. They've changed their name now, but back then in the 80s, that's what it was. And certainly all my textbooks came on cassette. And now, obviously, with ebooks and all of that, it's very different. But I think really just being able to take advantage of some good fortune and the resources around me, you know, really led to, you know, a fairly, you know, successful college career.
That's great. What radio stations or networks did you work for after college?
So I worked for a couple of different outlets. One was the Connecticut Radio Information System. It was a radio reading service for the blind, and I was their program director and did a lot of work through there. From that, because it was a volunteer, largely a volunteer-run radio station, met a lot of people in the Hartford radio market and became friends with some folks and ended up at WPOP, who at the time was a news talk station, and I was a network producer. And we ran a statewide radio network, news radio network. You know, was able to be a producer there. And yeah, of course, you do run into people that were probably more curious about how someone who's blind would do certain tasks around a radio station. And again, I think it's part of being prepared. You have to be willing to anticipate some of these types of questions and show them. So, you know, brought in a talking stopwatch, you know, brought in, again, at that time, a VersaBrail 2 Plus. Other technology that I would use to interact with their computer systems to, you know, simple things like a Braille labeler. How was I going to label, you know, carts, which are tapes that at the time were used for, you know, news packages. You're making me feel old here by going back in time. But you know, I understand today things are more digital. Maybe those types of interfaces that are used to control stations may not be as accessible today as perhaps they were, you know, when I was doing this. But, you know, people are still successfully working in this field. But again, you have to be willing to, as with any profession, you know, be able to show that you can do the job. And part of that, whether we like it or not, is probably demystifying and knocking down, you know, stereotypes and those types of barriers that are out there.
Now, why did you decide to work on technology for people with disabilities and go into that field and transition from radio?
Well, because technology is, you know, very, it's a very cool thing to work on, first and foremost. But for me, I saw the role that technology could play in the lives of people with disabilities. And, you know, I think my career really has gone full circle. I work for the largest media company, you know, out there in the world. And while I might not be, you know, in front of a camera, we're all about getting access to or enabling access to TV and other services that we offer. And so it's, to me, just as gratifying to see someone for the first time scheduled a DVR recording, and they can do that because of a talking TV interface that we'll talk about in a little bit. And so I think technology and its ability to level the playing field is what really enticed me into that. And I always wanted to stay at the kind of the intersection of broadcast and cable and internet technology. And through WGBH, AOL, and now Comcast, I've been able to do that.
And now you're Comcast's vice president of accessibility. That's what the company says on its website. And in this new role, you've planned and developed a strategic plan to focus on opportunities of the usability of the cable company's products and services for customers with disabilities. What's that plan, and how has it been utilized or put into place?
Our accessibility program is founded really on four fundamental pillars, you might say. First is customer engagement. So we want to get customer input as we're developing products, and even before we develop products. And we host roundtables with leaders within the various segments of the disability community. So Eric Bridges and Brian Charlson, I'm sure you know well from ACB, have been part of the roundtable that we hosted last year with leaders in the blindness community, and we'll do again this year. We employ a contract with a vendor that employs people with disabilities to do our quality assurance testing. So as products are in development, particularly our web and mobile applications, this vendor, who again employs people with disabilities who are expert screen reader users and use voice recognition software, screen magnifiers, are testing our products. And so as we get their test results back, we can fold those enhancements, into our development of our products. And, so we're well on our way. We're certainly not perfect by any means, but that's, through that engagement, that helps us. The second pillar is product capabilities. What do we need to do with Comcast products and services to add value to a customer with a disability? And so the talking TV guide, voice guidance, we call it, it's on our X1 platform, is a very good example of how we add value to someone who is blind or visually impaired. Because now, for the first time, when we launch this later this year, a customer who is blind will be able to navigate their X1 user interface. So all of the various menus, TV listings, video on demand, you'll be able to navigate the menus to turn on the SAP channel to access programs with video description. So a lot there in the capability front. Customer service is another big pillar. That's the third pillar. We last October opened up a dedicated center for customers with disabilities, and you can reach that at 855-270-0379, 7 days a week. I think it's 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. And that's where you'll access optimally trained agents to help with issues around video description, closed captioning, screen reader access to Comcast.com or paying your bill. You can order Braille and large print channel lineups, something we announced at the convention in July. You can request to receive your bill in an accessible format, Braille or large print, all through this center. So customer service is obviously critical, especially when we launch these new capabilities. We need to be able to get the word out and train people on how to use these products, or at least make sure that they're provisioned with the appropriate equipment. And then the fourth pillar is what we call like infrastructure, baking accessibility into our infrastructure. And how do we do that? We do that through employee awareness tools, so bringing people with disabilities in to, present to our employees. Last October, we opened up an accessibility lab, which is a showcase of assistive technology. We used the lab to show product engineers and designers and product and program managers, really anybody involved in the development process or anyone who's an employee of Comcast who's interested. We bring them in and show them how you or I would interact with a Comcast product or would want to interact with one of our products. And that helps their development process, and it informs, our product development over a period of time. So customer engagement, product capabilities, customer service, and infrastructure are the four pillars. And that's really the four pillars of the strategic plan that we, you know, embarked on 2 years ago and continue to evolve as our business evolves.
All right. Now, this new on-screen program guide for the blind Comcast customers and the new X2 platform, which I heard you mention about at the ACB convention in Vegas earlier this year. How do those work for the blind and visually impaired, briefly?
So X1 is really what we call the product, and it's what we call a cloud-based platform, which means that everything that you interact with is all up in the network. We don't have to install this talking guide on your box. It's all done up in the network, and so your box is connected to our network, and so all you have to do when this is launched is, you know, press a button on your remote control a couple of times, and it will enable voice guidance, and it'll give you instructions on how to interact with the X1 user interface. And once it's enabled, you essentially use the remote control like everyone else, and as you highlight an item on screen, we announce it for you. So you could go into TV listings, for example, and it would say now playing. It would give you the name of the show. It would tell you how many minutes were remaining in the show. It would tell you whether closed captions were available. And at some point soon, it'll tell you whether video description was available. You could go into video on demand and you could rent or buy a movie or watch some of the vast amounts of free content that we have on demand. We're in a trial right now. We have, you know, maybe 15 customers who are blind that are using voice guidance today. And the feedback that we've been getting on this product is really exciting to the people who are developing it. Exciting to me as well, but I'd rather see the developers get the credit and the designers. And for me, what I'm hearing from people is, you know, for the first time, I was able to schedule a DVR recording. I've never been able to do that before in my life. You know, for the first time, I was able to buy a movie on demand or rent a movie on demand. So we really are pretty proud of the fact that we're opening up, you know, the TV viewing experience, and expanding on what it means to watch TV for someone who's blind or visually impaired. And as I said, this will be out later this year. I would say several months. Don't want to commit to a specific date yet, but it's very close now. And we're the first in the cable industry to launch this product, so we're pretty excited about it.
That's great. And the Comcast website, as you mentioned, has the Accessibility Support Center. How can that center help our listeners get the most out of Comcast services? And how can they log on to the site?
So you can visit comcast.com/accessibility. And there you'll be able to review the range of products and what their current states of accessibility are. You'll be able to link off to, you know, support articles on how to use specific products and what technologies they work best with. And from there, you know, you can even download, in some cases, you know, the apps themselves to use them if you go off into a support article. So there's several ways that you can communicate with us. You can also send an email to accessibility@comcast.com, and our Center of Excellence can respond to those emails. And if they don't know the answer, they can escalate it to my team. And either I or one of my team members will, if we don't know the answer, we'll go find it. So there's a variety of ways that people can interact with us. And then, of course, they can call toll-free our customer center, 855-270-0379. So comcast.com/accessibility. If you're on the web, email accessibility@comcast.com. By phone, 855-270-0379.
Very good. And how can our listeners become Comcast product accessibility testers? How can they participate?
Well, certainly you can send an email with your interest to participate. We cannot guarantee that everybody who says they're interested in testing will actually end up in a beta of a test. That largely depends on the product that we're testing, the level of service that, the customer has, any number of factors that would influence whether somebody could participate in a beta test or not. But we do like to hear from customers, and if you're interested in testing, I think the best way to express that to us is to send us an email to that accessibility@comcast.com email address.
Okay. Now, I was wondering if any of the nation's other cable companies have any accessibility features for blind customers, because all of our listeners around America aren't with Comcast. You know, a good number of them are. They're with the other cable companies. Any other cable companies offering the accessibility features?
Well, certainly I'm not authorized to speak for any other cable company, but what I can tell you is that I hear from a lot of cable companies, good people at other companies that are trying to grapple with these challenges, and I think a lot of these companies are thankful that Comcast has stepped up and is leading the way on these issues, and certainly they're asking us lots of questions. Best to leave it at that.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
In general, again, just really appreciate you thinking to have us on, and would encourage people who are Comcast customers to, request Braille or large print channel lineups. That's something that's available today. And stay tuned for some of these exciting products to come. I would also recommend that if you are a user of, an iPhone or any iOS device, or Android device, to download some of our mobile apps. For example, Xfinity TV Go is a great app if you want to access on-demand content. As long as you have a wireless connection, a Wi-Fi connection, you can access a lot of on-demand content, even some live streaming content through this Xfinity TV Go app. You could also download the Xfinity Connect app, either iOS or Android. That app allows you to text. This is for customers who have Comcast high-speed internet and digital voice. If you have our voice phone service and our internet service, you can get Xfinity Connect and essentially text and receive texts using your home phone number, access your Comcast.net email accounts, and, check your voicemail, your home voicemail, even get a text transcript of your home voicemail. We call that readable voicemail. So there's another app you can try as well. So, and then the X1 remote app or some of our in-home apps are also being worked on now. So if somebody does have the X1 service in their home today, they can use the X1 remote app. And one feature in there that I really like is the ability to use voice commands to control your experience. So you can click a button on the bottom of the screen and you can say, watch the weather channel. And your box, if you have an X1 box, will automatically tune to the weather channel just from that command. And so that really takes the guesswork or the need to use channel up or channel down like we have for so long to find a channel that we want. If you know what you're looking for, you can use that voice command with X1 remote app, provided you have that service. So there's another app. So just a few that you might want to check out.
Absolutely. And Tom, you're truly an inspiration to those who want to enjoy working in the field of media and who just want to enjoy media.
There you go.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Brian. And, feel free to call us, further down the road once we release some of these products.
Hey, sure. I'll have you back on again. Thank you. And before we go, let me give listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's episode and past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind and follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
The sun peeks its head over the horizon early on a Monday morning. The alarm goes off, you make coffee and toast, hit the shower, get dressed, hop in the car, and head to the office. And before you know it, you're already out of energy. But wait, help is on the way. Join Debbie Hazleton for the Good Energy Mix. It's all kinds of music, upbeat, jazzy, folk, and oldies. So whether you're at work or at play, there's bound to be something to add to your day, to give you a smile and something good to think about, and to give you some good energy. It's the Good Energy Mix on ACB Radio Interactive, Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. The Good Energy Mix will help you recharge your batteries, not only for the rest of the day, but for the rest of the week as well.